Thanks for joining me today. This is Nicole Baker from King's Court Podcast. Whether you are a believer in Christ or not, one thing we all have in common is our ability to choose. We make many choices each and every day. Some are simple. What will we make for dinner? Will I check my email? Will I call that friend? Will I eat that second piece of cake? But some are bigger choices. Like, will I be quiet when I want to defend myself? Will I ruminate on my past disappointments or present struggles? Will I do the hard thing today? Something that requires self-control and discipline. Like not picking up my phone and instead picking up my Bible. Maybe go for a walk instead of going shopping. There are even bigger choices we have to make. Some can be life-changing for us and possibly future generations, even if we don't know it at the time. When you study church history, there were people who made significant shifts in what we know as Christianity today. Beginning in 1630, Puritans emigrated to North America from England. They taught more about a God who judges sin than we do today. They were uneasy with the Church of England's toleration of certain practices associated with the Roman Catholic Church. In some ways, they had a much more balanced and wise view of Christianity than evangelical Christians do today. Today, many Christians have embraced Catholic teachings. This is mind-boggling, since much of what the Catholics believe in their catechism is not biblical Christianity. There have been many changes over the years. From the early 1500s to the late 1800s, there was much reformation. In 1523, William Tyndale, an English biblical scholar, began work on a New Testament translation, directly from the Greek, and later the Old Testament. He was captured before he could complete it, and was executed by strangulation and then burnt at the stake. At the time of his death, he was 42, and the year was 1536. 18,000 copies had been printed. What he did was a model for future English versions of the Bible for nearly 400 years. Another notable figure was Charles Finney. He was a Presbyterian minister in the mid-1800s. He was a leader in the Second Great Awakening in the United States. He has been called the father of old revivalism, best known for his preaching in New York and Ohio. Because of him, African American women were accepted into Oberlin College in Ohio. Later on in 1904, Evan Roberts led a revival in Wales, which triggered revivals in several other countries. God prepared him for this revival. He had been praying for revival for 13 years. Listen to part of his encounter with God. As I prayed by my bed one night, I was taken up to a great expanse. For 4 hours, I was in divine fellowship and communion with God. Then I slept till 9 a.m. Then again, I was taken up into the same experience until around 12:30 p.m. This went on for 3 months. When people ask, why did the fire of God fall on Wales? Simply said, it was the result of a praying people, not only Roberts, but many more. This revival spread without any advertisement. No meetings were even announced. Approximately 70,000 people came to faith in the first 2 months, and 30,000 more later. Preaching was not part of this revival. The focus was Jesus, singing to him, and prayer. His overwhelming presence came. Services continued until 2 in the morning, with next day marches in the streets. Bars were shut down, theater was canceled, profanity disappeared. So, why am I giving you this mini history lesson? Here's why. Because we in 2024 are part of another Reformation. What will it look like? Here is what I believe. God is bringing us back to the foundation of our faith, the basics. Do we even know what biblical Christianity is anymore? God is uprooting, of this I am certain. It is our job to get into the Word ourselves and plant seeds of faith into our own spirit. A seed does not produce anything unless you plant it by meditating on His Word on a regular basis. People like me, who are Word people, will always be criticized by religious people. It just comes with the territory. In John chapter 6, Jesus says that the words He speaks are spirit and life. So we as His followers should be speaking life as well. This world is a noisy place, and the enemy of our souls is speaking his lies loudly in so many areas. Even in this season of shaking and sifting, we can stand firm on God's word and pray for revival. If we want it, there will be a cost. As believers, we must stand in faith, in grace, and in the power of His Spirit. Romans chapter 5 tells us we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Many times, Satan uses adverse circumstances, tests, and trials to tempt us to doubt God and His Word. In Ephesians chapter 6, we are invited to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. All of what God is doing, the pruning and the uprooting, is preparation. One verse of scripture that has boomed in my spirit since 2018 is 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. Come out from among them and be separate. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. The Lord is calling His church to be separate from the world, and through her, an awakening to Christ will happen all over the world. In Brian Edwards' book, Revival, he says the main evidence of revival is an awareness of sin and a desire to be holy. In revival, people weep over their sin, and fresh encounters with the glory of God release conviction of sin and a desire for holiness. Whenever God manifests His presence in power, people are undone. During America's Second Great Awakening, Charles Finney watched as the congregation began to fall from their seats, crying out for mercy. Real revival will fall on communities who are acutely aware of their daily need for God's grace. In the third chapter of the book of Revelation, we hear a rebuke to the lukewarm church. Jesus Christ is going to spit the lukewarm out of His mouth, because in part, they are blind to their own great need of Him. The enemy of our souls doesn't want us dependent on God. He whispers, "Oh, just rely on your own abilities. You don't need God." Let's call upon God, resist the enemy's lies, and declare our utter dependence on Jesus Christ. Keep ourselves full of His Word. Remember, the Word of God says that we are free from the law of sin and death. And as we walk out our own journey with the Spirit of faith, we will see victory. I know it is challenging, but with God, all things are possible. Thanks for joining me today. Till next time, this is Nicole from King's Court Podcast.